beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome again to Animation Aficionados crossing over with Tooncast Beyond. We are continuing our series of looking into DC animated movie originals. We are doing Wonder Woman tonight. Of course, you all know my co-host, TV Smithfield.
What is crap?
Family Guy.
And of course, we do know also from Tooncast Beyond, TFG1 Mike.
Yes, I am here, and for Tooncast Beyond, this will be episode 5. Did you say Animation Aficionados, or did you say Animation Aficionados? It sounded like you said a face.
I said Aficionados.
It sounded like you said a face. Oh, that's funny. Wonder Woman 2009. I just saw this for the first time, like yesterday.
Wow. How could you deprive yourself for so long? And so I'm holding the box, and it's glorious.
Wait, which box are you holding?
The DC Universe Animated Original Movie Wonder Woman DVD
box.
Yes,
but which box? There was the one disc, there was the two disc edition. Which box?
The one disc.
Oh, okay. So that's the brown background.
Or it's the actually, gold background. It's
yellow.
It's actually closer to burgundy.
Yes.
We got the color chart out.
And this is really one of the best ones so far.
Oh yeah.
It is. So this actually I would go as far as saying this is the best one so far, because what I love about it is it's less about comic books and more about mythology, and I think that's the best way to do a Wonder Woman origin story. Because you don't have to do things with supervillains outright. If you do things with Greek gods and Greek myths to start out with, it feels right when you do it this way. Not to mention, you open the movie up with a fucking decapitation.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
I mean, talk about violence. I mean, didn't they have Artemis like stab a guy in the chest like 5 times in the first 2 minutes?
Yep.
And of course, you also have great voice actresses in this. I think they got some of the best voice actresses in the industry, in any industry, to work here. I mean, you had Tara Strong as the brainy redhead Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
Tara Strong playing a brainy redhead. I never see that before.
First time for everything.
I'm making a joke.
You had Rosario Dawson as Artemis. You had the lady from CSI Las Vegas, Marg Helgenberger, as Hera. Wow. Virginia Madsen as Hippolyta. And, of course, Kerry Russell as Princess Diana / Wonder Woman. For the male characters, you have Nathan Fillion as Steve Trevor, Alfred Molina as Ares, Oliver Platt as Hades, David McCollum, again, he keeps showing up in these movies as Zeus. I don't think David McCollum fits the booming voice that Zeus should be.
And you also have John DiMaggio playing Deimos.
Yes. Overall, the voice cast for this is great.
And it indeed is. And since Neil just saw this, like, mere hours ago. I think Neil should be the one to walk through.
Go ahead. The floor is yours, Neil.
Oh boy. Well, I'm still kind of
processing.
I'm thinking about the scene of the girls splashing each other in the pond and Steve Trevor over in the bushes, you know, fapping away.
This movie took the PG-13 rating to the extreme.
Yeah, it's. But Neil, go ahead.
First of all, I love all the jokes with the golden lasso of truth, where they wrap it around him, and he says, "I don't have to put up with this crap." And they're like, "What is crap?" And because he's got the lasso on him, he goes, "It's a euphemism for excrement." And
they're disgusted with him. Yeah. And then Politis sort of like jokingly, you know, just like daring him, say, "Do you have any other foul things to say?" And he says, "Your daughter's got a nice rack." And yes, he says rack.
Oh god. I can only flash to a Steve Martin movie that I don't remember what the title of is, but one of his kids in the movie says, "Daddy, what's a rack?" "It's a country, son."
Oh my god. And yeah, I'm still processing this, so
from what I understand, a lot of this is based off of a screenplay that Gail Simone wrote, which was later rewritten to be an animated movie. It was actually Gail Simone, from what I understand from the story, wrote a screenplay for a live-action Wonder Woman film. And I can definitely see it. It's and definitely one thing I can see is from a two-hour movie to a shorter animated movie, I can see where some trims were made, like they didn't explain the invisible plane. And I imagine that if this was a longer movie, they would explain that they took Steve Trevor's existing plane and used Hephaestus to forge it into an invisible plane. That's how I would explain it away.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This movie was just so well done. The animation on it is great. The voice cast is great. It tells a very solid story, and Steve Trevor as a sexist pig is kind of cool. I mean, that guy could not stop making horrible, very sexist, over-the-top jokes.
I love that he takes her to a bar and tries to get her drunk, and she drinks him under the table.
And she's like, "Yeah, I knew what you were trying to do." And she calls him a lightweight. And then you have one of the most badass and somewhat sexy fight scenes ever, where she's in that dress fighting fighting Deimos. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they're fighting and she's actually beating him up in a wading pool in a mall.
You know what I've found about Wonder Woman in animation, outside of New Frontier, both in the Justice League cartoon and in this, she looks a hell of a lot sexier fighting in civilian clothes than her own uniform.
Well, that's because it leads more to the imagination, and some people's imagination goes pretty far for them.
Especially yours. Come on, you were open for that, Ben.
Honestly, I think this is, you know, I really enjoyed the hell out of Alfred Molina as Ares. I mean, he pulled it off great.
Oh, he did.
And he was business in the front and party in the back. he was rocking Molina. A pretty good bullet.
Yeah.
And also, the scenes with Hades were creepy. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen Hades this creepy before. I mean, when he was strutting around Ares' dead son in front of him, just to sort of see what he'd do.
Yeah, wow. That was creepy as hell.
Well, that's also a bit of a, you know, Magnificent Bastard thing to do, because Ares still needs him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Are you still processing, Neil?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way to describe the story, and I'm just kind of...
Going back to the pool?
Yeah, I'm going... Yeah, I keep getting distracted by all the... kicking and awesome flips in the air and stuff like that.
Well, it's very funny because I said earlier that this movie took the PG-13 rating to the extreme. Apparently, according to producer Bruce Timm, during post-production, many action scenes had to be edited after the first cut of the film received an R rating from the MPAA.
Ooh, damn.
Well, you would notice that when they did show a decapitation, the decapitation is always as a silhouette. And they showed the disembodied head, but it's a close-up shot of the head without showing, you know, the actual cut area.
Yeah.
So that was obvious to me that they did that, and I think it's obvious why they did that, because they were trying to push, yes, it's a decapitation, we're not going to hide it, but they had to hide something or else, because apparently you can show the decapitation, but you can't show the wound from a decapitation.
Yeah.
You can have Django get his head cut off, and as long as you don't see any blood squirt out, it's okay.
Yeah, when Boba picked up that helmet, that head should have slid right out onto his lap.
Oh, God.
That would have gone a long way to describe why, to explain why Boba was so fucked up.
Yeah, why he sucks and he's like, oh, the Millennium Falcon, oh, okay. took the wrong turn in that Star Destroyer and ended up in the trash by accident. Oh, one of the best jokes ever.
Long story, folks.
Oh, my God. where do we go from there? Nice, Ben.
What I did like was the scene of Diana riding the horse. You know, they really animated that. You know, this is back when the animation still had very expressive faces, you know?
Right.
And then that's one of the greatest things. I mean, I always said that the Wonder Woman design in Justice League, depending on the animation studio, whenever they did her nose, it came off sometimes wrong. This time they had a team that did it right.
Yeah, but I mean, especially in like the Darkheart episode of JLU, really, who should be looking at Wonder Woman's nose? You know, especially Ray Palmer, considering where he was stuck.
So with what are your feelings on Tara Strong's character Alexa?
I liked her, but then again, I am a Tara Strong fanboy. I like almost anything that she does. It doesn't matter what she lends her voice to; she always does an amazing job. I think my problem with this movie is so much that outside of Justice League and outside of the original Linda Carter television series, I know nothing of Wonder Woman. So just outside of my knowledges of both those series and this movie, I really know nothing other than that.
The creator of Wonder Woman is a guy who invented the lie detector machine and was kind of a kinky fella.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, Neil can't get his mind off the pool scene.
Well, the actual guy who created Wonder Woman, he actually had his wife and his mistress. They both lived all together, so they all... And he had them both always wear... silver bracelets at all times. And
interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Did I mention he invented the lie detector?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good old William Marston.
Yep.
Well, he made up for it by creating Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and apparently the rights with the rights deal with him and DC back then, National, on publishing Wonder Woman is this. They can never not publish Wonder Woman. The month that they don't publish a book, they lose the rights.
Wow. This version of Wonder Woman, along with the version in Justice League, along with the original TV series, are all versions I like. I'm very glad that as much as a great TV producer and creator he is, I'm very glad that the David E. Kelley pilot never got picked up and got canceled.
Yeah, there were, it was not very good. I mean, did you read the script? There were like boob jokes.
Wonder Woman doesn't make boob jokes. She's a businesswoman in a modern world. That's not Wonder Woman.
And yeah, it's. But back to this movie, I love the character of Artemis as well.
Yeah, Artemis was a great characterization. It was very awesome.
What about you, Neil? You got a favorite girl in this movie?
I'm just going to say Wonder Woman. I mean, you got a character who runs around in a skimpy little bathing suit style leotard and kicks a lot of ass and seems to enjoy doing it. So thumbs up for me.
What I did enjoy was Persephone actually states, you know, there is a bit of a folly in the Amazonian lifestyle of no men. Because, yeah, sometimes, you know, eventually some of these women are going to, want something, you know.
I don't see what the problem is, Ben. I think I know what girls do when they want something and there are only girls around.
They smash each other in the pool?
I think that's the problem of Themyscira, is that different versions have different rules. Like every time it's used... Like in Justice League, it was all women, you know, no men allowed. In this, it was pretty much the same thing, but there were like hidden exceptions to the rule. And then you go to Apocalypse, which we'll get to much later. You know, they're actually allowing men on the island, which when I saw Apocalypse, and we'll get to this later, obviously, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but when I saw that, I was like, wait, that's not right. Why isn't anybody banning them? I don't know.
The moderators were sleeping and the forum was full of trolls.
No, one of my favorite episodes of Justice League was the one where they were the virus, they had that virus that was infecting all the men and
Fury part 1 and part 2.
Yeah, I love that episode because it really experimented with that whole thing about men not being allowed on the island and
yeah.
It was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, it was. All right, so as far as what this movie made compared to the other ones that we've covered so far in the spotlight, this one made $7,321,000 and it sold 470 and change units. So I would say it made its money. And a lot of people, just like us, a lot of people love this movie. And obviously, who wouldn't, coming off the heels of Gothamatrix?
Okay. You know, men with no dicks.
Oh, so Fez from that 70s show.
Oh, I thought you were mentioning another Fez. I heard you say Fez. I'm like, wait, you don't even know Fez, Mike?
Oh, I'm talking about the guy from that 70s show.
Oh, man.
No, like I said, the only people who would hate this are men with no dicks.
So what do we... Well, before we get into the rating, this movie started the trend of when they would do store exclusives, where DC approached Mattel of doing little mini statue figures that they would include in the Best Buy special editions. I actually have one of these from the Public Enemies DVD set. It's okay. It's a statue. I mean, it's a little mini statue. I mean, it's not even really an action figure. So, but that was a good way to promote the movie, I think.
But one little note is this movie is the one that actually, you know, from what I've read, this movie is the one that killed the Marv Wolfman, Teen Titans, the Judas Contract project, because the initial returns were way below what DC was expecting, and they decided to access and focus more on Batman and Superman-related projects only.
Which, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, you know, as much as I love a lot of the stuff that Marv Wolfman has done in his career, I'm not a fan of Teen Titans at all.
Well, you should read the original comics.
Well...
Because they're nothing like the cartoon series. Let me just put that right here right now.
Okay, well, that's what I meant. I'm not a fan of the animated series. And what the hell is that noise?
Who's unwrapping candy?
No, nobody. But the Judas Contract project was not related to the cartoon series at all. It was going to be an original animated feature. It was going to use a Wolfman. It was going to use a Perez-esque art style. It was going to try to be a very faithful adaptation of a comic book arc.
Yes. So, as the IGN replacement crew, 0 through 4, what do we give this? Neil?
4.
Ben?
I can't say 4 hard enough.
Yes, and I also give it a 4.
He says with a sigh.
No. I can't really follow those jokes up, so... and it is on DVD. It's on 1-disc, 2-disc, and I believe it's also on Blu-ray. The 2-disc edition, I think, has a couple of Wonder Woman episodes from Justice League. I can't be for sure. I don't have it. I don't have the DVD in front of me, so I'm not too sure about that. So I guess we're going to take a quick break. We're going to go to some really wacky ads, and we will come back with our final thoughts. And hopefully Neil can compose himself.
The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, starting with the Webcomic Beacon, a topical webcomics podcast with a jovial bunch of misfits like your local morning radio show. Also, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, recaps, reviews, and discussions of community and industry news relative to comic creators, especially of digital distribution. Also, the Tropecast, the ever-tangential discussion of literary and visual memes. And finally, Web Fiction World. Before webcomics, there was independent and self-published web-released written fiction and literature. Find this all at webcastbeacon.com. Be sure to grab a master RSS feed or master iTunes feed and not miss a thing.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right. Hey.
It's What's on Joe Mind. Every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekcastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat Bat, Eject, Operation Interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show, now co-host Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
So we are back, and what's that up in the sky?
It's the invisible plane. Oh, we can't see it. We screwed up that joke. The invisible jet, yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere in this film. It does have a much better explanation in a later film, and I'm not going to say which one it is, but I think you guys know.
Yeah.
The way it's done in that film is, like, you don't realize that it's the invisible jet until the very end. It's very clever. One of the scenes I wanted to bring up that I thought was kind of cool is the one where there's this giant bat who has Wonder Woman in its claw, and Steve is on the back, and he's like walking up the thing's spine, and he throws a grenade into the thing's mouth, and it explodes. And that was, I think that was like my one favorite action shot in the whole movie.
That was a good action shot, all right.
Yeah.
So, Ben, final thoughts on Wonder Woman 2009.
This really is one of the best projects that the DC animated original movie team has done. This really is. It just is near perfect with how the animation style is, the animation consistency, the character designs, the voice acting, the clever humor, the running gag of crap. I mean, the part where Ares grows big and is about to smash Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman just looks up and says, "Oh crap." Come on. Everybody laughed when they saw that, right?
That was wonderful.
That's so awesome. You know, this movie, up to now, probably would be my number one pick out of all the ones that we've reviewed so far. Justice League New Frontier is like a close tie with this, but this one, you know, just as Ben said, with the way the story is told, with the way the animation is, I much prefer it when they do full-on beginning, middle, end stories. No more of that breaking up different animation bullshit.
This really is one of my favorites, and yeah, I don't always buy DVDs, but when I do, it's just all Dos Equis. But in Wonder Woman.
So thank you for joining us here on the Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados crossover. There are several ways for you to get in contact with us. Visit the websites geekcastradio.com and animationaficionados.com. You can comment on each of the episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. As far as I know, with Tooncast Beyond, we're still having issues getting it into iTunes, but we will put directions on how to get it in there somewhere. Follow us on Twitter. The show names are Tooncast Beyond and A Aficionados. Mine is TFG and Mike. Ben protects his Twitter like a mother protects her hen. And Neil just doesn't give a shit.
Neil is the honey badger of Twitters.
Oh, geez. It is Neil Sama. And by the way, Hal Hefner added me after we did that, so apparently it does, like, somebody did care enough to hear what my Twitter name was.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork for us and facebook.com/animationaficionados for them. Call our voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and Animation Aficionados crossover. Wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the DC Universe Animated Original Movie Spotlight with Green Lantern First Flight, where Steve Megatron will be joining us for the rest of the spotlight. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Jeebies, Mr. Neil.
And Ben the host.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Good night.
Adios.
You didn't do the little bye.
I could change it up every now and then.
Okay.
It has chosen you. Take it. You are now one of the protectors of the universe.